If you know the ground is there to stand on, you can walk by faith a whole lot. If I know that, if I can't see nothing down there, but I've been over this trail before, I'm going to be like, you know, I know y'all all heard the joke about the Church of Christ and the Methodist preacher and the Baptist preacher, right? That's out fishing. Y'all hadn't heard that? They were out fishing, you know, and so the Baptist preacher, he needs some more bait. And he takes his little boat and he just said, well, I'm out of bait. I need to run over to the shore. So he just steps out of the boat and he just walking like this, you know. And he goes over there. He gets his bait and he comes back, walks back, gets in the boat. And this Church of Christ guy's thinking, now how in the world did he do that? He walked on the water. The Methodist guy in a little bit, he said, I'm out of bait. I need to go get some. So he steps out of the boat and he's walking and he goes over and he gets some bait and walks back. And a little bit, the Church of Christ guy, he runs out of bait too. He said, okay, I don't want to be a dummy. If them boys can walk on water, I know I got as much faith as that Methodist and that Baptist preacher. I know I have. I'm going to walk on water. So he steps out of the boat and down he goes. I mean, just right down to the bottom. He comes back up, gets in the boat, and steps out again. After about the third time, the Baptist said, you reckon we ought to tell him where the rocks are before he drowns? See, some of us know where the rocks are. They're a little bit further down in there than you can see, but we know where they are. And if you've been over that trail, you know Jesus is the healer. I mean, you know where that rock's at, don't you, Jack?
Yes, sir, we do.
You still got to step out in faith, but you know that rock's down there.
Absolutely.
And so you can step on that rock by faith because you know that God is the healer. And some people don't know that, so they don't know where to step. So they step in the water, and if you're not careful, they'll drown before they find the answer. I got so tickled at a young lady a while ago, I won't mention her name or anything, but she's trying to get rid of her headaches. And she says, she's talking to me about praying. I said, well, your husband needs to pray for you. And she's, you know, learning how that all works, about the husband being the head of the wife and that he needs to be the one to pray. And she said, well, if I'm praying and I'm trying to get rid of my pain and I take an aspirin, is that okay? I told her, no, that's not okay. She, oh, my goodness gracious, you mean I can't take an aspirin? I said, that's unbelief. I said, if you want to never get healed, just keep taking an aspirin and you won't get healed. Somebody said, no, I think you're crazy. That's okay. Let me tell you, I remember the day I had the back trouble, how I did it. I'd heard the scripture where it says, when you pray, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. I was bent over a car one day working on it, doing something, and I went to straighten up and man, it's like you hit me across the back with a 2x4. I stood there just shaking. And in a minute, I said, you know, God, your word cannot be wrong. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to walk off and I'm going to have no pain. Now then, you know, most people think you're crazy. You're in excruciating pain. I push myself up and I stand up and it's like a board is hitting me in the middle of the back with a nail in it. My goodness, I said, Lord, your word is true. Turned around, I took one step and my lands, let me tell you, as I stepped out, that pain was severe like I've never seen. And I said, I'm going to do this in the name of Jesus. And I took that second step. And when I did, the pain was half gone. By the time I got the third step, the pain was completely gone. And I've never had another back pain to this day. You know how difficult it was to do that? I mean, I'm in excruciating pain. I'm hurting. You know what I mean, don't you, Mike? You've been there in that pain like that, haven't you? Yes. I'm telling you, you got to learn when Jesus said, when you pray, you got to learn how to pray with no doubt in your heart. No doubt. You got to believe I am God and that I will do what I say I will do. And if you don't believe that, it won't happen. It won't be easy. He's training you how to overcome. Just think. Jesus said, as the Father sent me to be an overcomer, and I overcame. So because I'm an overcomer, he let me sit with him in his throne. How would you like to know one day you're going to get to sit beside the master on his throne? Would that be a good deal? Yes, that would be a good deal. So he says, as the Father sent me and I overcame. Did Jesus overcome?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Was it easy? Oh, my goodness. He overcame. I mean, have any of y'all ever seen The Passion? Oh, my goodness. Is that awful or is that awful? It's more than awful. But he passed his test. I got a feeling none of us here could have passed that test. None of us couldn't even have come close. But he passed that test. But he says, as I overcame, the Father let me sit with him in his throne. So see, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? That's where he's at, because he overcome. He said, now I'm sending, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And as I'm sending you, now you go and you overcome. And for each one of you that overcome, I'm going to let you sit with me in my throne. Do you think you're going to get to sit beside Jesus without a fight? Do you think that it's going to be, he's going to let you sit there without having to run that race? No, it's going to be a battle. But for all of you that overcome, any of us, all of us, every one of us that overcome, only the overcomers are going to get to sit by him in his throne. And he's going to welcome us to that. Wow. And besides that, there's five crowns. All these problems that we go through in life. You know, some people, it seems like they never have a problem. You know, they just every day, everything's going good. You know, no problems. Always got plenty of money in the bank, you know. Got a nice car to drive and nothing goes wrong. Children are all good and healthy and nothing, there's no problems. But then all of a sudden you run to the next family and it seems like they can't never get ahead. They have no money. They're struggling every day. There seems always be something wrong with their children. There's one of them sick all the time. Do you know people like this? What is causing all these problems? What is the problem on earth? Well, you know, first of all, we got to talk about there is a group of well-trained beings running loose on this earth that's invisible, that you can't see. And most people don't believe in demons. We call them demons, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. But there's wicked spirits. They're here, aren't they? And, you know, most people, you ask the average person, do you think that you as a Christian, even you ask a PhD in the seminary, and I've done this many times, so I can say this, that do you believe that me as a born again Christian, is it possible for me to have a demon living inside my flesh? And you know what the answer will be nearly every time? No, you cannot. Absolutely not. Well, let me tell you, that's not true. You can definitely have one. You can have a multitude of them. In fact, the most demons I've ever seen in one little girl was 2,823 demons in one little woman. And it took us 7.5 hours to kick every one of them demons out. But that's because I didn't have enough faith. After I got enough faith, I could do the same thing in one command. Isn't that something? Seen it happen. These evil spirits, they're running around all over the earth. That's just like the Proverbs when it says that, you know, the man that goes out and runs around with a woman he ain't married to, it's like he's waiting for an arrow to be fired at his liver. And his liver shall be pierced with a dart. Somebody read that and say, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means there's an invisible being out there called a demon. And if you sin, he knows what his legal right is. So you take a family that raises their children, and they may not understand all these principles, but a family that goes to church, a family that the daddy reads the Word of God to his children on a regular basis, he may not understand these principles, but I guarantee if that family, in the process of reading the Word of God, if they will walk in obedience to what they read, and the children will obey God, and they will obey their parents and all these things, and do what the Lord says, those children will not hardly ever have any sickness. You know, they just won't have. In fact, I saw on the Sid Ross show the other day something that I have never seen outside of this church. I've never seen anybody say what this lady said on this show. She's a born-again, spirit-filled woman of God. Her and her husband are in ministry and everything. And she left her two daughters and her little son, I think he's 12, 14, whatever he was, at home and told the boy, now I'm going to leave you at home with your sisters. I've got to go out and do some ministry work. Do not go outside of the house since I'm not here. I mean, that's pretty hard to mess up, isn't it? I mean, mama says, do not go outside the house. What does that mean you got to do? You got to stay in the house. If you don't do that, what are you going to do? You're going to break her command, right? Yep. In other words, you have just become a sinner. And so you've opened the door to a devil. So this little boy, he didn't understand this principle. The mother did. She was a well-informed woman, I will have to say. So she goes off on a ministry trip or downtown to whatever, doing something that day. And in a little while, a 10 or 12-year-old boy, I mean, if he's out at home and his two sisters in there, if they're doing something, watching TV or whatever they're doing, where do you think that 10 or 12-year-old boy is going to be in a few minutes? Where?
He's going to go outside and have fun.
Oh, he's going to go outside and have fun. I mean, you sound like you might have raised a couple of boys, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You know what they do, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So he goes outside, and of course, as he's running around playing, he doesn't think a thing about, Mama told me to stay in the house, but you know, it's a beautiful day, so there's not a problem with disobeying Mama. He didn't really see it as disobeying Mama. He just wanted to go outside and play. And as he's going along there, there's a big old gallon jug sitting there, plastic jug. And so he walks up like any boy and he kicks the bucket, knocks it off across here and goes over, has so much fun, he goes over and does it again. Now then he's stirring this up. He doesn't know this has got acid in it. Has no idea that it's building pressure in the sun as he's shaking it around, kicking it around. So in a little while, he does like most boys. He reaches down, picks up the jug, and guess what he does? Takes the lid off. As soon as he cracks the lid, guess what happened? All that acid blows all over him. Blows in his eyes and his face, everything. Somebody would say, that's just a coincidence. No, this boy broke God's rule. He broke God's rule. His mother understood that. They finally got the mother, the girls, when they found out about it, because it burned his skin. I mean, it had burned his eyes. He had all kinds of problems. When the girls found out about it, they called Mother. Mother come running home as fast as she could. When she got home, she told him, she said, oh, man, he looked awful. Had burns all over his face and everything. She said, I'm going to wash you up, and I want you to run in there and take a shower. She said, the first thing you got to do, what were you doing outside? Did you not remember that I told you to stay in the house? Yes, Mother, I know. She said, then you broke my rules. You did not keep my commandments, so you are guilty of sin, and that's what gave the devil the legal right to put this acid in your face and to put out your eyes and burn your skin. I ain't never heard nobody say anything like that in my life except out of this church. But I heard it. She sent him into the bathroom. Said, you go in there, and now, first of all, he repented. He said, Mama, I'm sorry. I didn't realize, you know, that I really needed to stay in the house, but I do remember you told me to stay in the house, so I repent, Mother, for not doing what you told me. She said, get in there in that shower and take a shower. He goes in there and turns the shower on, turns the water on, and all of a sudden he opens his eyes. He can see perfect. He looks at the mirror there, and in his face, it is completely, totally healed in 1 minute. Which one of you ever would have thought, when one of your children disobey you, before you pray for them, have them confess their sin? Nobody thinks about that. I mean, we're interested in getting the child healed, you know, but we don't think that it happened because, in other words, that boy gave one of these demons that's running around out there with the fiery darts. You ever read about the fiery darts? He gave him legal right. And when children break the law of God, they open the door to the evil one. He knows what his job is, and he fulfills his job. And he does what he says he's going to do. And that doesn't only work for the children. Now, the scripture clearly says, children, obey your parents in what?
All things.
Oh, obey your parents in all things? You mean I can't break no rules? I can't I?
Well, you can.
But if I do, I'm going to pay the consequence, or am I not? If children understood there is a consequence to their sin, some of those children would pay attention. But the average child don't know this. The average adult doesn't know this. That this being, these host of beings that's running around out there that we call demons, they're made by God, as we're going to see in Colossians in a minute. These beings are made by God and for Him and for His glory. He made them, and he put them out there, and he told them what to do. He gave them their instructions, so they know exactly what they can do. So whenever the children of God, not the little children that we're talking about, obey your parents, but the big kids, that's us, when we disobey our parent, who is our parent? God the Father. And our brother is Jesus. Is that right?
Amen.
So if we disobey him when he tells us what to do, to walk in love, to get rid of all bitterness and unforgiveness and all those things, and we don't do that, we open the door to a demon for us. And these spirits, they come to us. So now then, all of a sudden, you begin to look at everything going on the earth. Here's a family over here. Have no problem. Got good children. Mother and daddy's good. They love God. They go to church. They read the word. He teach the word at home. Maybe they're homeschooling, and that's good. I think that's the best thing that a parent ever done for their children is homeschool those children. Teach them what you want them to know. Teach them the truth. And if that parent is doing like what they're supposed to be doing, they will be successful in business. They'll have all the money they need to pay their bills every week. Something will happen. God will do something to pay your bills if you're walking in faith and walking in love and obeying Him. Because the Scripture says that. Scripture clearly says God will meet all of your needs. He will bless you in everything you put your hands to if you obey Him and do what He says. Walk in love. It can't fail. But then if you don't know these things, you look at this family and you think, wow, that family's really lucky. It's like they've got a silver spoon in their mouth. Everything they touch turns to silver or gold. Have you seen people like that, Jack?
Yes, I have.
Sure, I have too. So you wonder, and then the next one you see, you think, wow, wonder what's the deal with this family? They don't have no money. They're all sick. All the time they're sick and afflicted. And so, you know, when the children do not obey the parents, I mean, I can remember when I was at Lakeland. I was an usher there at Lakeland Baptist Church over at Louisville. One day I'm seating people and doing a thing an usher does, and there was a lady there at a seat. And when I seated this other couple, she said, Mr. Scrivener, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, those two children of yours, every Sunday they go down and sit on the front row and they don't move. They just sit right there, maybe draw a little, but they don't talk. They're quiet. She said, how do you get them to do that? I said, ma'am, I tell them to do that. She said, well, I tell mine to do that. Mine sits right here with me, and they don't. They're up and down under the seat doing all kinds of stuff. She said, I just can't make mine do what yours are doing. I said, ma'am, there's only one difference between you and me. My children know I'm a truth teller, and yours know you're a liar. She said, what do you mean my children know I'm a liar? I said, you know, when I tell mine to sit down and be quiet, if one of them picks up, I said, I just go down there and take him outside and I give him three good licks, bust his butt, and I take him back. I said, now what do you not understand? She said, you mean you beat your children? I said, if you want to call it that, yes. But I said, you see what the results are. It's good. They don't disobey me. I said, you tell yours that they've sat still or you're going to give them a spanking, and you never give them a spanking. You don't do anything, so they don't obey you. And so you wonder why those kind of children grow up to be drunkards. You know, they grow up to be little hellions. You know, they grow up to take drugs because they never saw a consequence for sin at home. So why should there be a consequence in the world? But there is a consequence in the world. So when you look at all this, you think, wow, wonder why people don't understand this thing about these spirits. And of course, now, you know, you'll hear people all the time that'll tell you. In fact, I studied for years, and I tried to figure out where does demons come from. I read all kinds of books written by all kinds of people, and everybody had a different idea of where the devil come from. I mean, everybody. And I couldn't find no two people that thought alike. So anyway, one day I'm reading this scripture that we're fixing to talk about in Colossians. We'll use the King James Bible. Colossians chapter 1, and I want to start out in 1, and I want to read a few lines here. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brothers, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love whereof we have to all the saints. Just think, we're giving thanks to God. I want you to think about this. If Paul said we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ. You know, some of us, I can remember back in the days when I didn't know these kind of things, when I could go all week and never even pray for anybody. Have you ever been guilty of that? Go all week and never prayed for nobody for nothing? Well, if you're like me, why did I not pray for anybody back in those days? That's right, Jack. I didn't think it worked. So why am I going to waste my time praying for you if I don't believe that my prayer is going to be heard anyway? I mean, here you are, a little devil, you know, or a little hellion or whatever. And somebody said, would you pray for Jack that he will change? I said, you know, ain't nobody changed that guy, you know. I mean, is that what we used to think, Jack?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I used to think like that. I'm sure you used to think like that. You know, I think, you know, well, why should I pray? And then one day I'm reading these scriptures, which we're going to get a little deeper down into it. And one day, as I'm reading these scriptures, I learned where Satan come from. And we're going to read that in just a few minutes. I learned where he come from, and I learned how this thing's, how it works. And I'm reading this in Colossians chapter 1 and 2, and I'm reading this over and over and over. And I think, wow, if this is true, if this really is true, then this guy or girl, whichever one I'm praying for, if this is all true, I said, then I can change that person. And somebody said, no, Thurman, they have a free will. I used to believe I had a free will until I read what the Bible says in Proverbs 21:1. We won't go there right now, but Proverbs 21:1 says, the Lord will direct your heart as he wills. So, If he, let's say he directs her heart in one way, he directs Kim's heart in another way, he directs Scott's heart in another way, why? I mean, I'm at a loss. Why does he move Jack's heart one direction, hers in another direction, hers in another direction, his in another direction, these boys in another direction? Somebody says, well, they have a free will. And I used to think that was true until I found Proverbs 21:1, yeah, thank you. When I found Proverbs 21:1, I realized that you do not have a free will after I pray. If I pray in faith, God is going to answer my prayer and he's going to direct your heart and you no longer have a free will. When I learned that, I realized that people that are lost, people that are out there going to hell, I can change them. I remember little Cody when he was 9 months old. In fact, we got an email this week from somebody that listened to that teaching. I'd done that years ago. And he said, there's a little boy. Anyway, this little child was crying all the time and everything. And this man had listened to one of my teachings about the power and authority we have over these tormenting spirits. So he went into that nursery, prayed over that little boy, commanded that spirit to leave that little boy. And that little boy was instantly set free. And he quit crying and everything. See, I mean, when I first learned that, I can remember one day I was coming back from Chicago. I was sitting up front in an airplane, and as we were flying along, there was a child behind me that's just crying. I mean, it seemed it was okay till we started descent. We're about 100 miles out, and as we start down, it takes about 30 minutes to get down in a jet from 35, 40,000 feet, and the ears became uncomfortable for the child, and the child started crying. And so we're going down, and this poor little child is crying and crying and crying and crying and right behind me. I mean, of course, the mother's holding it, you know, and she's trying everything. He's just screaming his head off. As we're descending and the kid is crying, I remember that scripture. Pray about everything with thanksgiving. Pray about what?
Everything.
With what?
Thanksgiving.
So I said, Lord, that little child behind me must be so uncomfortable. I said, Father, you made me a promise in your word in John 14:13-14, that I can ask you for anything and you'll do it for me. Did he say that?
He did.
So what do you think he expects us to do with that?
You better do what he says.
Ask for prayer, right? Or ask for something in prayer.
Yeah.
So I said, Father, according to John 14:13-14, I'm asking you to take away this little child's pain that's behind me so it can be comfortable, so it won't have to scream. And then I said, and what did he say after I pray? What am I supposed to do after I pray?
Thank him.
Thank him?
Yes.
But I hadn't seen no results yet.
No matter.
Oh, he did say thank him, did he not?
Yes.
And so what do you think we should do then right here?
Thank you.
Amen. So I said, Lord, thank you. And as soon as I said thank you, guess what happened to the child?
Stop.
It stopped crying. So we start descending, and you know, as we get down to the ground, the little child never prays again. I never cries again. And I got off the airplane, and I'm walking there thinking, you know, Lord, either this is the most awesome coincidence. You see, we all have to learn how to do this, right? None of us were born knowing how to pray, right? He's training us and teaching us how to be an overcomer. But why did he put that little child right behind me? Because he knew I didn't like to hear a screaming child. I know nobody likes to hear a screaming child. Do you? But some people will spank the child. But you know, when you got a little baby like that and you're descending in an airplane and they start screaming, it don't do good to spank them. That's not the answer. But the answer is in what? In prayer. So, you know, after you pray a few times for a few people, just like you, Jack, at first it was almost a coincidence when you got your back healed. You're just like that. Okay, yeah. Jack, are you trying to tell me you're just like me?
Yeah.
You've got sin in your life at different times, and the devil's over there waiting to shoot you with a fiery dart?
I'm trying to avoid those, man.
I do too now, Jack, now that I know they're there. Before I knew they were there, I didn't worry about them.
Right.
But they were still there.
Yeah.
And so whenever something would come up on me and I would get hit with one of those, and you think, oh, this is like my back trouble. I never dreamed that was a fiery dart from the devil for some of my sins I'd been messing around, doing things I'd done. Unbelief, living in unbelief. But when you read the Word and you learn that you can pray, you can change people's life. And, you know, I just think about like little Cody, when I told you that story a while ago, when he screamed and everything. I mean, that day I asked the Lord. By this time I'd got to where I knew to talk to God, and he would talk to me because I'd heard him talk to me several times. So when little Cody, 9 months old, was screaming and kicking and everything, and I just walked in and my wife said, honey, I met my match. She said, this baby, all he does is scream and said he won't eat or nothing. And I said, well, that's not normal. So I just said, Father, is there a scripture that says we could call on the Lord and he'll answer us?
Yeah.
So why do we not do that?
Jeremiah 33:3,
Psalms 91:15 is another one. Yes. So if the Lord told us to call on him and he'll answer us, it's not that we're trying to get him to answer our prayer. He's training us how to be overcomers.
Amen.
He's going to answer your prayer if you don't give up or if you don't get into unbelief. I think about this sweet lady right here in the blue. Last week she had a hip problem on her left. Is that right?
That's right.
Had a hip problem on her left hip. And I'd prayed for her 2 or 3 weeks before and the pain went away. And after a couple of weeks, it came back. So she come up for prayer thinking, I don't know what happened here. I told her God was probably testing her. And of course, as she's being tested and don't understand the principle, the pain came back. So she's put up with it for a few days. And whenever she comes up for prayer, I told her, I said, just repent of your sin. And so she said, I'll be happy to. So she repented of her sin. And then I just happened to, since it's a lady, and Cheryl was standing there, but Sarah run up about that time, Dave's little girl. Little Sarah run up there about that time. And I said, Sarah, since this is a lady, I don't want to put my hands on her hip. I said, why don't you just lay your little hand on her hip and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. She said, sure, Papa T. She just reached up and said, be healed in Jesus' name. And what happened? And it was, you were instantly healed. Even a 6-year-old child. Isn't that amazing? So if we train our children to pray like that when they're little, what do you think they can learn to do? Time they get to be adults. They'll be dangerous, won't they?
They will.
Yeah, they'll be dangerous. And we love it, don't we?
Yes.
I mean, God is training each one of us how to be an overcomer. So anyway, whenever I asked the Lord what was wrong with Cody, and he told me, he said, it just as clear as a bell, he just spoke back to me and said, he has a tormenting spirit, and I've given you authority over it. After she left, I told Betty, I said, I'm going to kick that tormenting spirit out of that baby. I knelt down there beside his little high chair. He's screaming, kicking. He's 9 months old. I said, you foul tormenting spirit of hell, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I have been given all power and all authority over you. Have I?
Yeah.
That's scripture. So I said, I command you to come out of this boy and go to the abyss and never come back in Jesus' name. Somebody say, you can't cast a demon into the abyss. Don't tell me that. You got to me too late. I know they have to obey me down to the letter. That's what's written, right? So anyway, I left. I walked out and I told Betty, I said, I guarantee you and Cody will have a good day today. And I left. I fully expected what I did to work because I realized I'm inside of a spiritual kingdom that most of us don't even know exists. But I'd learned by this time it's real, that God is real, these devils are real, these demons are real, and that tormenting spirit some way had legal right to that little boy, and he was, can you imagine? Can you imagine if you were a little child and here's this thing in here saying, can you imagine what that, no wonder you're screaming and crying, right? That thing is tormenting you. Who knows what he's doing, but he is having a heyday with you, and all you know to do is scream. You're 9 months old. But when somebody comes along and knows what's going on, you can just lay that hand on that little thing and say, you foul spirit of hell, come out and go to the abyss. And then walk off and say, guarantee he's delivered in the name of Jesus. And when I come home that afternoon, first thing my wife said, honey, you ain't going to believe the day I had with Cody today. I said, sure I am. You had a great day, didn't you? She said, he was perfect. All day long, he was perfect. He didn't cry. He didn't he slept. He was a perfect little boy. Well, the next Monday morning when Mama brought him, she said, Betty, what did you do to my son? Did you give him some medicine? She said, no. He said, you did something. She looked over at me and she said, well, Thurman prayed for him. Well, Mr. Scrivener, whatever you did, it worked. It worked. So she goes to work. When she comes back, as she leaves, I looked over at my wife and I says, why didn't you tell her the truth? She said, honey, I live with you and I ain't ready for where you live. She said, I don't understand these things. Now, isn't that something? Now, guess why I was so far ahead of her in my spiritual walk? I spent a lot more time in the Word. I spent that time in the Word and the Lord revealed himself to me. And we got that little boy free. And I love it every time I see a child. I think of that little 10-year-old boy down at Dallas. His grandmother and grandfather called me and said, we got a grandson that our children that had the child, they've run off and they don't want him. And they're just running around doing everything wrong. So we're trying to keep the boy, but we cannot control this boy. Do you reckon this child might have a demon or two in him? Sure he does. And because why do demons come to this little boy, but they won't come to this little boy? That's right. Sins of the parents. That's right. One set of parents, this set of parents over here, they're walking in love, walking in obedience to God's word, so their children don't have demons. The children obey mom and dad, so they don't have demons. But when you disobey, how easy is it to get one? Oh, it's real easy. When you obey the Lord and do what he says, that little boy... When I told him, I said, he's sick, bring him to a healing school. They said, Pastor, he's not sick. I said, oh yeah, he's sick, but a different way. He's sick a different way. I said, he's got demons. And I said, okay, we'll bring him. They didn't understand this at all. So they brought this little 10-year-old, and after the healing school was over, I'm praying for people. And when they came up, I said, where is the boy? And they said, oh, he's back there running around. I said, tell him to come up here. So they hollered at him, and he come up there, and I knelt down in front of him, and I looked at him and I said, son, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? No. I said, how would you like to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? I'm not interested. Now, who do you think that is talking out of his mouth? A 10-year-old boy. That's a demon. Well, how did that demon get in there? Because of the sins of the parents. Just like Jack said, the parents had not walked with God. So the grandparents are carrying the load here. And this boy. So anyway, I just knelt down in front of him. Put him up, grabbed him by the shoulder, and looked him right in the eye, and I said, you foul, tormenting spirits of hell. But the scriptures say if there's any lost on this earth, they're lost because the God of this world has blinded their mind to the truth. Is that what it says? Yes, that's what it says. So I said, it's a demon. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that spirit that's blinding your mind to the truth of God's word, because it says if those spirits are gone, then you will be able to see the truth, and you'll be able to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I kicked those devils out. I said, now then, in the name of Jesus, I said, come out of him. I said, now, Father, see, the scripture says, Nobody can come into the kingdom except to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. So how do you get the Holy Spirit to do something? He's your comforter. He's your helper. Isn't that right? So you say, Father, in Jesus' name, would you please send the Holy Ghost to convict this boy of sin and draw him into the kingdom of God? Is that what you do? Yes, that's what you do. And so then I says, now, son, how would you like to invite Jesus to come into your heart? He said, I'd love it. Just that simple. I'd love it. Now, what did the scripture just say? If there's any lost, they're lost because the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded their mind. Why and how did he get legal right to blind their mind? Through some kind of sin, the sins of the parents. But did you know that most of us, in fact, not most, all of us, when we're born, we're automatically children of the devil. Do you know that you've been a child of the devil? I don't like to think about that, do you? That I'm a child of the devil? Well, now what if nobody ever prays for me? What if I go through life and I don't have that good mom and daddy? Nobody prays for me. What happens, Mike, if nobody ever prays for you? Nothing happens. You ain't never going to get saved, are you? So you're going to go through life and you're going to be one of those, woe is me, why does everything go wrong? Why can I not do anything right? And you got all these demons in you and they're blinding your mind and you're trying to go to school and they're tormenting you all the time. They're constantly pinching you on the shoulder like I did there a while ago. And you can't study with a demon pinching you on the shoulder, can you? Or maybe he's attacking your liver. Maybe what if you were one of those that got the fiery dart shot through the liver? Then that's got to be painful, right? Oh, I can't already. Oh, my goodness gracious, I'm having trouble in school. I just can't study. Doctors check out everything. The x-ray machines won't show that spiritual dart that's in your liver. They know there's a problem in your liver, but they can't see it. They don't know what it is. It's there by a spiritual being. Now, then maybe after a while, if he messes with you long enough, something may happen to your liver where they can see it and they can find it, but they may give you a new liver. And it still don't fix the problem because you're still living in that sin. Nobody's ever cast out that demon. Isn't that amazing? So we wonder why certain people have all these problems. I can think of so many times, so many examples of how the devil has legal right to us and how we give it to him. I mean, if we walk in obedience to God's word, then the devil has no legal right to you. But when we think about the devil, in fact, I was listening to Daystar the other day, and there was a very well-known pastor on there, and he was asked a question. Where did Satan and his host of demons come from? And he said, we don't know. That's what he said. I thought, my gosh, I know. It's written in the Word. I thought, wow, what do you mean you don't know? You know, I'm over there tapping on the TV screen. Hey, listen to me. I know where that beast comes from. I can show you in Colossians chapter 1. I can show you exactly where he come from. God made him, didn't he, Jack? Yeah, that's right. Another, there's all kinds of places. You know, it's just amazing that we got, in fact, but I can understand because I used to be there. I didn't know where Satan come from. I was reading every kind of book I could find, trying to find it about somebody trying to tell me where Satan come from. Everybody had a different idea and nobody had the right answer. Finally, one day I said, okay, God, I give up. I can't find it. I know you got it in your word somewhere. You're going to have to show me where Satan and his demons come from. And so I really started reading the word and the Lord began to reveal to me. And the more I read it, all was just like those scriptures that jumped off the page at you in Isaiah. You're never the same once you get that, are you, Jack? So all of a sudden, you're beginning to understand why some people are sick and afflicted all the time. You begin to understand why that this man right here, he is a hard-working man, but he can't work because he's got a back problem. You understand why? You got some unbelief in your home. You got the power to get rid of it, but you didn't believe the word. So all those years, you was in pain and suffering until finally one day, that little lady sitting beside you, she believed. And when she believed and you agreed with her in prayer, that thing gone and forever gone, wasn't it, Mike?
Forever gone.
Forever gone, changed his life forever. Just think. It's so amazing. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Praying always. Do we do that? Do we pray for people always? I don't know about you, but I don't, you know. I mean, I get tickled if people say, put me on your prayer list. I said, I don't have a prayer list. I don't. You know, you may have one, but I don't have one. Why am I not going to pray? Have a prayer list? Because I believe, this is the way Cheryl and I answer every prayer that comes in when somebody asks us to pray for something. Just like that little 14-year-old boy or whatever he was the other day. He said, I have been in excruciating pain for so long, I don't know what it's like to be without pain. He said, I've been listening to your CDs and DVDs. I have repented of all my sin, all sin, known and unknown. But he said, I have prayed for myself, and I guess I just don't have enough faith. I can't get rid of my pain. But he said, I believe if you and Mrs. Scrivener will pray for me, mix my faith with your faith, I believe God will heal me. So Cheryl and I answered the email, and we prayed. We remitted his sins. We broke the curse. We kicked out the demons. And we told him, now then, it is done. We have prayed for you. It is done. That's why we answer our prayer. And now then, don't ask me to put you on your prayer list, because if you ask me to put me on your prayer list, that means you didn't believe you got healed when I said it's healed.
That's right.
So you keep going forever and ever and ever. Let me get on this prayer list. Let me get on this prayer list. Let me get on this prayer list. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. No, all you need is one warrior that knows how to pray one prayer. That's all you need. You don't need to put somebody on the prayer list. You need to pray in faith. Well, 2 days later, we got a letter back, email back from that young man. He said, glory to God. This is the most awesome thing. I know y'all had to pray. You wrote, sent me an email, said you prayed, it is done. He said, when I read that, all my pain went away, and I have not had a pain since. Do we know what it's like to get rid of pain? Yes, yeah. Yeah, see? But you see all kinds of faith in that, don't you? Because that little boy believed that if me and Cheryl would pray, it would be done. Cheryl and I prayed believing it's done. And that's the way we answer every email. When we get through, we have prayed for you. It is done. Now then, does that mean the manifestation is going to happen right then? No. It might happen a week later, a month later. But it's going to happen if you don't give up. Because we prayed. Now then, like I say, if all the people that have asked me, called me and said, would you put me on your prayer list? If I were to do that, you know how long my list would be? We got thousands of people that would be on our prayer list. But we don't do it like that. We answer the prayer one prayer at a time every day. Me and her, sometimes we're up to 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, still laying there in bed, praying for people. And speaking the word of God over people. Now then, once we pray, or if you sent me a written prayer request, once I pray that prayer for that, guess where that goes? In the trash. If I prayed for you, it's done. When I say, I prayed, it's done, I mean that. Just like Jack sitting there when that day, that probably about right where he's sitting right there. That day when I prayed for his back, when he'd had that terrible back problem for so long. We got him to repent of sin. We prayed the prayer of faith for him, and he said, Thurman, it didn't work. It still hurts as bad as it did. I said, Jack, you can't go that. You got to believe. I said, you got to believe. I said, repent. Tell the Lord you're sorry. I said, we prayed. It's done. I guarantee it. It's got to work. Oh, okay, Lord. Now, see, you didn't learn that in the Baptist church, did you, Jack? So anyway, he said, okay, I believe it's done. So he still hurts, though, Thurman. I said, yeah, I said, but just praise him and thank him, worship him as you go. It's a done deal. So he said, okay. So he gets right out to the car and starts to open the door to get in the car. And all of a sudden, he turns and there ain't no back pain. Wow. So he gets in the car and this is pretty cool. No back pain. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, he comes back to church and walks right in and says, this stuff you teach really works. He said, I've been looking for this pain for 2 weeks. I said, Jack, quit looking for it. You're healed. And he got it. And he had never looked for it since then. But he has really learned the principles of praying in faith. Because when we pray, we got to pray in faith, believing with no doubt in our heart. It's done. You can't go by what you see, smell, feel. You got to go by what is written in the Word, right? So if you go by what's written, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. You're going to get your answer. You know, it's wonderful when a little 6-year-old kid prays for you and you get healed instantly. That's wonderful. It don't happen like that all the time, but sometimes it will. And I will tell you something. I guarantee you, if you start remitting people's sins and pray for them in faith, you're going to start seeing God answer your prayer. I mean, that's the media he's using to teach us how to be an overcomer, is prayer. And he may not answer every prayer you got instantly, and it may take a while. In fact, I've told lots of people, they say, how many prayers that you prayed does God answer? I say, all of them. All of them, every one of them. But some of them takes a little longer. Some of them takes a while before he actually shows up and does what he says. But I still stand on his word and I pray. But so he said, if you pray always with thanksgiving. Okay, the next verse 5 and 6. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard, where is the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come into you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. All your prayers will bring forth fruit, as it doeth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God, and you knew God in truth. When you finally get a hold of the fact of who you really are in Christ, think about this. Here we are, we've learned that God is our Father. If you had a good father on this earth, if you asked your daddy for something, I was over at the pool one day with Tim and Amanda, and I was trying to teach him how to swim. And the pool was only about this deep on me, but for Tim, it was way over his head because he's just a little guy. And I'd say, son, jump in here and I'll catch you. So he'd walk up to the edge and have his little water wing things on and all that stuff, and he'd start to look out. He said, but Daddy, what if you don't catch me? I said, son, I will catch you. No problem. Jump. I will catch you. And so he would jump and I would catch him. I'd never let his head go underwater. He'd splash and do everything, you know, and then he'd paddle around in those little water wings. There was a guy sitting there beside me in the pool, and he told me after we did this several times, he said, why don't you let him go under one time? Just back off when he jumps in, just back off. I said, sir, if I told that boy I will catch you, let me tell you, the only one way for me not to catch him is that I die before he hits me. I said, I will never make a liar out of myself to my children. If I tell them I'm going to do something, I said, I guarantee I'm going to do it. Now then, if I would do my own children like that, if I'm just a normal man and I'm not going to let my child see me in a mode of lying, and the God that we love, that which says he cannot lie, do you think he's going to catch you if you jump into the pool? Do you think he will catch you? Yes. Guarantee he will. If he tells you to jump in, I'll take care of you. If he says, I will heal you, if you pray and believe, I will heal you. Do you think he's going to heal you, Paula? Yes. He did, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
See? But he didn't do it the first day, did he?
No, he didn't.
He didn't even do it the first week.
No, he didn't.
But it took a while, but isn't it wonderful to be healed?
Yes.
Yeah, well, see? But God promised. Where did we get that? You know, so when we read in God's word, he guarantees to heal us. It's in the book, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So all we got to do is believe, right?
Right.
You think God can lie to you?
No.
No, he cannot lie to you. So you need to learn to stand on your ground. Stand on your ground. I mean, believe him. He's an awesome God. Let's go on to the next two verses. As you also have learned, how you pronounce that, our dear fellow servant, which is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Next verse, 9 and 10. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Do not cease to pray for you. Now, they're praying for these people. And he says they're praying for them. They do not cease to pray. Do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and of his wisdom and of spiritual understanding. Okay, I can see where that would be a wonderful thing to continue to pray for anybody, that they would have that knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If I increase in the knowledge of God, and He wants me to walk worthy before the Lord, what do you think God would probably want me and you to do once we learn these principles and start acting on these things? What do you think He would probably want us to do? Do you think He would want us to be out praying for people, to see people getting saved and healed and delivered? Yeah, so, but many of us don't do that, do we? So, but I'm telling you, I guess the thing that I have most people come to me for is how to get a lost person saved. They've got a friend or a relative or a brother or sister or whatever that's lost. And, you know, you can talk to them. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face. And they don't want to even hear about Jesus. And the world's full of those kind of people. And you and me have spiritual authority over the spirits that are blinding their mind to the truth. And if we know that, we can change that. Wow. Verse 11, 12. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light in light. Verse 13 and 14. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When we come to know Jesus, you start asking people, who are you in Christ? And they don't know. They really don't know who they are in Christ. Do you know that you used to be in the kingdom of darkness? Do you know that you was a child of the devil? Do you know when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior that He delivered you from the kingdom of darkness and He translated you over here into the kingdom of light and you just become a son of God? A daughter or a son of God. And everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Everything. It's just amazing. It's all ours. You stop and think about that and what you have in Christ. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So if He's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, and He's given us all His power and authority, something should change when we become a born-again child of God. We should become a different person. But we don't teach people. I mean, I got saved when I was 11. And I probably was 30 years old before I learned this. 30 or 35 years old. Let's go to verse 15 and 16. Who is the image of the invisible Son, or invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, Jesus, was all things created. How many? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. So where did the devil come from? God made him. What do you think He made the devil for? What do you think? I mean, you know, I used to ask that question. You know, I mean, as I was studying this, I'm thinking, God, if You are so powerful, and I believe You are, and don't we all believe God is all powerful? He created the heavens and the earth. He spoke and the worlds came into existence. Don't we believe that? So if He created everything, and then Satan and his demons is on the earth, and there are these invisible beings, dominions, thrones, and powers, He made them. Why did He make them? I thought, if you don't like them, God, why don't you just speak and let them just vaporize? That's kind of like how dumb I was when I was looking at him on the cross. Whenever they said, if you're really the Son of God, come down and we'll believe you. And I was sitting there saying, yes, God, just show them. See, I didn't have a clue what was going on. Because if he had, where would I be today?
In hell.
I'd be in hell. You would be in hell. Because there was nobody to pay the price for your sin. And you couldn't pay it. Guarantee you couldn't pay it. There ain't no way you could ever be good enough to pay the price for your sin or my sin. But he did it. And he stayed on that cross because he loved you and me. And praise God, he did it. And he gave us this all this power and authority. I just stand in awe when I look at that scripture that he says that who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. I mean, and then he goes in to list them, what they are. What are in heaven and what are in earth, both visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, that all things were created by him and for him. So if God created Satan, and he obviously wants him here on this earth, it's for his glory. What does he use Satan for? So when you start to sin, he sends one of his little demons, he reaches over and pulls out one of them little fiery darts, and do you see where I'm coming from? What gives the devil legal right to attack you, but it can't hit Mary right there beside you?
Sin.
Sin, that's exactly right. She's walking in obedience to God's word, you sin, that battle is raging, just like Psalm 91 says, and then fiery darts are being shot all over the place, and only those that sin get hit. Is that right? That's right. So if Mary's not sinning, she don't have to worry. You walk right through the day and you can't get hit by one of them arrows, Mary. Isn't that wonderful? He promises us that. But what if we don't know that? What if we don't understand this battle? What if Mary gets all upset with somebody? She gets into unforgiveness or bitterness towards someone at work. So you didn't like the way somebody did something, so she just don't like them. And then all of a sudden, all kinds of bad things starts happening to her. She starts coming down with sickness and disease, which she never had before. So guess what we do? We go to the doctor. Instead of going to God and say, Lord, I repent. Now we can. Then she has to use her husband. He has to kick out that devil after she repents. He kicks out that devil and she gets well. That's the way it works. Isn't that a wonderful thing to learn?
When we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord.
Amen.
We know that.
Amen.
We shall not be condemned.
With the world. That's absolutely right. So if we don't know these things, you will be condemned with the world. If you don't know. If you don't know that you can take a 3-year-old and let them touch you on the hip and pray and just say, be healed in Jesus' name, and it can happen. You can be sick a long time. You know that? Isn't God awesome?
He also created the heresy.
He what, Jack?
He created heresy.
Absolutely.
There must be heresies among you.
Yes.
So that those that are approved will be made known among you.
Yes. Praise God. He created everything, didn't he?
So he's working on that.
Yeah. He created everything. So who made the devil?
God did.
And what did he make him for?
Just
in other words, if James over here sins, God, or he gets into unforgiveness towards someone, God sends a demon to torment you, or one of your babies.
Yep.
Boy, that's not fun, is it?
No.
Yeah, we don't like that, do we? But he does that. And so when a man and a woman learns that when they sin, it can make their baby sick, it makes it a whole lot easier to get along with each other.
Yes, it does.
A whole lot easier. You can think, I ain't going there, Lord. I'm going to walk in love. I don't care what this girl does to me. I'm going to love her. In fact, I'll tell his name. I was watching Cleflo Dollar the other day, and he was in there talking about these very similar things. And he says, you know, when I feel like I need to just punch you out, he said, when I get that mad at you, that's when I'm going to love you. He said, because I know that if I punch you out, I'm going to give the devil legal right to me. And he said, I ain't going to do that. I thought, wow, he's getting a hold of it. That boy's learning. He's learning. I thought, wow, glory to God. And he's a good teacher of the word now, and he's really getting a hold of some of this stuff. And he's just learning. He's just really learning. But you need to walk in obedience to God's word. So God definitely made the devil. He made his demons. And he told us right here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, that he made everything that's made. Did he not? Let's go to verse 17 in there. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn, from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So who's in charge of everything? God is. I mean, he's in charge. He is sovereign. He's in charge of everything. I mean, everything. Let's go to the next verse. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him he reconciled all things unto himself, by him, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So when you think about who is running the show, and I'll tell you something I said the other day over at Sid Roth when we were over there in North Carolina. We were having dinner there that evening before we made the show the next day, and Sid said, Thurman, I don't know how you stood it. I don't know how you bore it when you lost your wife, your daughter, and nearly your grandbaby all at the same time. I said, well, Sid, it's no problem bearing that. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you got to learn that God is in charge. I said, he killed my wife and daughter. Oh, my goodness. He jumped up in there and said, Thurman, don't you promised me you will never make that statement on the air with my... Don't never say God killed your wife and your daughter. I said, but he's sovereign. He's in charge. I mean, is he? Yeah. I mean, does people say, you know, God... In fact, this one young lady we were talking to the other night, she says, you're trying to tell me that God makes me sick? I wrote back and said, yes, ma'am, he's in charge. You have some kind of a sin in your life. She said, well, how about Romans 8? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. And that's all she wrote. I wrote back and told her, I said, ma'am, you need to read at least the first four verses, and then you'll get the picture. And the next day, she emailed us back, and she said, you're right. The Lord showed me my sin. I've repented, and I got healed. Isn't that amazing? So she said, wow, I've learned a great principle here. Isn't that awesome? It's amazing what God has put in this book and how he's told us to walk in obedience to his word and do what he says. And then if you don't do what he says, he knows how to send one of those demons to pull a fiery dart out, doesn't he, Jack? And that fiery dart, how many years did you have that dart in your back?
Off and on for 30 years?
You had back troubles for 30 years?
And people don't, if you ain't never had it, you don't know how
many. Yeah, I know I've had it. I've been there. I've done that. But after you got healed, you hadn't had it now for several years. Not a pain, right?
I'm sick, so it'd be about
10
years.
About 10 years. Wow. Oh, but like you said, you got to learn how to get rid of that, don't you? Okay. Somebody have a question there? Did I see a hand? No? Okay. Yeah, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Get them right there.
Yeah. Wow. But you know, the thing about it is, we don't read the Bible with an open mind. We read it trying to confirm or to believe, make it say what we think it's saying. But that scripture right there, that'll blow anybody's mind, that if they'll just read that openly. You know, I am the Lord. I do all these things. Just like Deuteronomy 32:39. The very first word he says, I kill. I make alive. I wound and I heal. I, the Lord, do all these things. No man can deliver you out of my hands. I don't want to be in his hands, you know, if he's fixing to discipline me. I'd rather judge myself and say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll walk in obedience to your word. Hadn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. If we judge ourselves. I like that, don't you? I like that. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's stop right here, and we're going to start over there in Colossians next week. We'll go from there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for this beautiful day and for the rain and everything you've sent. And I thank you for filling up the lakes and letting everything be green. And I thank you for all the wonderful green grass and the beautiful flowers and the trees and all the things that you've given us, Lord, because you made every one of you made every flower out there in our front yard. You made every tree. You made every blade of grass. You made every one of us in this room. You made everything, everything. You made every cell in this building, in our bodies, everything. You are an awesome God, and we praise you and thank you for being our Lord and our God. And Lord, thank you for giving us a revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that you have. And then use each one of us mightily this week as we go forth to do things for your kingdom. We thank you for blessing us, using us mightily, and doing great things. And Lord, send us out there, help us to inspire us to get people saved, healed, and delivered. And may you use each one of us mightily this week as we go. And Lord, I just give you praise and glory and honor that you did make everything, and you made them all for your purpose and your benefit, and that as long as I walk in obedience to your word, I don't have to worry about the devil. He cannot touch me. And Lord, I thank you for that. I realize you're in charge of the devil, and he can't do nothing until you tell him. And you will never send him against me as long as I walk in obedience to your word. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you for being our God. Thank you, Father, for the blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.